broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 14th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is indeed our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country, and to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we believe we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, free radio, live and on demand at your fingertips always. All right, a quick recap of yesterday's show makes sense. It starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Larry Pratt, doing a phenomenal job discussion of all things liberty, ladies and gentlemen. And we talked about the Oklahoma governor, Kevin Stitt, signed a law ending abortions in almost all cases. The legislation only permits abortion during a medical emergency threatening the life of the mother. Now, mothers are not prosecuted for their decisions with their babies, but you know what? The medical professionals are. Yes, indeed, a Class C felony, they're talking, which means 10 years in prison, and up to $100,000 fines for medical professionals. Now, the governor there basically says, hey, you know what? I want to be the most pro-life governor in the country, and I want Oklahoma to be the most pro-life state in the country. Well, I commend these governors, Mississippi, Texas. Some of these governors are far from perfect, ladies and gentlemen. I get it. Don't run around and call me and tell me Greg Abbott's a bad guy. I know. I understand. But I'm going to give credit where credit's due, which is what we always point out on the radio. Look, even bad guys do good things sometimes. Even good guys do bad things sometimes. It isn't always clear this guy's a great guy, this guy's a bad guy, whatever. It isn't like that. And so we need to remember to give credit where credit's due. Now, there's a new guy running for governor who will be a lot more conservative than even the current governor, right? Which I support that. I think that's wonderful. But I also want to acknowledge when the governor of Oklahoma doubles down and says, I want to be the most pro-life governor in the country, and I want my state to be one of the most pro-life states in the union, you know, I got to commend him for that. I got to double down and defend that effort. All right? Even if you can say, well, hey, this or that may not be perfect with the guy. All right, so Tucker Carlson argued that Elon Musk's potential takeover of Twitter would be a direct challenge to the liberal elites. Now, I don't really agree with Tucker on this. Elon Musk is no longer joining the board of directors. Musk's decision leaves it open for him to do a hostile takeover should he choose. We talked about that in detail yesterday. Will Musk try to get Trump back on Twitter? Doubtful. Unlikely, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? It's bogus. The Trump, quote, social pledge by the GOP. They say they've reached out to Sam Bushman. That's me over 20 times. And, man, Sam, I just won't go along with their efforts, will I? All right. You got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not against Trump's new media service, okay? I think it's great. I think Elon Musk can have one. Trump can have one. Jeff Bezos can have one. Look, all these big wig, you know, high-tech, highfalutin rich guys, they can all have their own media services, right? Bill Gates has his, what is it, MSNBC or whatever, okay? Everybody has one. A rich guy, the way you do the status symbol is you get your own media company, right? And I appreciate that Musk is going to do that, and I hope it goes well. I believe Musk might be a little more into free speech, and Donald might be a little more into free speech than many of the other guys, but not much. Right. The MyPillow CEO, you know, now he's got his own media company. Right. So all the big guys to show they're the big way, you know, have a media company. And many of them are much more free speech than the current traditional yesteryear media. But I don't think any of them have the guts to put on my show. There's only one that has the guts to do that. That's Brighteon. The folks over there, Mike Adams, Alan Keyes, doing a phenomenal job. They are willing to take on real free speech. Now, I think that Mike Lindell is doing a great job with his free speech offering. FrankSpeech.com, doing a great job with that. I think that there's efforts here, and I hope Elon really doubles down in defense of free speech, but I have my doubts. All right, on October 19th, 2020, current White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki literally doubled down and published or tweeted an article that was published by Politico basically saying, hey, you know what? The Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation, and 50-plus, you heard me, 50-plus intelligence officers also signed a letter saying that it was bogus. Now that turns out to be a lie. Where's the accountability for the White House, for the current press secretary, for these 50-plus intelligence, quote, professionals? All their reputations should be on the line. And now, you know what? It's sad, but they've lost. What do we do with that, right? Well, the government's losing credibility, not only on that front, but in the Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer supposedly kidnapping case. Two men were acquitted, and the jury was locked on two more. In other words, the government got zero convictions on that one, baby, zero. The acquittals, along with the mistrials in cases against two other men, were significant setbacks for prosecutors who claimed they were going to get at domestic terrorism and stop it. But the domestic terrorism turns out to be your FBI, your CIA, your IRS. They're the only ones involved in domestic terrorism, ladies and gentlemen. Am I allowed to say that in America anymore? Or are they going to take away my free speech rights, huh? Ken Silva was with me the second hour, doing a phenomenal job. He's a national security senior reporter for the EpochTimes.com, doing a phenomenal job. And he wrote an article, quote, FBI memos suggest agencies have moles in the media. Ken Silva, the EpochTimes.com, doing a great job. Yeah, he talks about Jesse Trenadue, the attorney, who said that even though he lost his litigation because they complained that the files were secret and that we couldn't get access to them, Trenadue explained that the litigation did indeed help him piece together what he calls as the FBI's sensitive informant program. And this program is used to place informants into the national media, ladies and gentlemen, among other institutions. So you got literally moles and spies and plants and provocateurs from the FBI everywhere. All right, documents that Jesse Trenadue, the attorney, provided to the Epoch Times included the initial FBI memo that Charles discovered regarding an informant within ABC, along with other intelligence professionals that have released guidelines and information and communications with these moles, these plants. In the wake of a recently released scathing internal FBI audit, which found special agents breaking their own rules more than twice per reviewed case, ladies and gentlemen, now you've got, congressmen and senators going, wait a minute, does the FBI have too much power? Yeah, you should have known that since the Edward Hoover days, right? I mean, come on now. The FBI allegedly even funded white supremacists. Yeah, that's according to court documents, ladies and gentlemen. U.S. claims based on intelligence on Russia were flat out made up, ladies and gentlemen. U.S. propaganda has no basis in truth or reality. It doesn't have to be even solid intelligence for them to talk about it. Three U.S. officials tell NBC News, we can lie to preempt Russia because, hey, you know what? Getting ahead of the Russians is the only thing that matters. Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen this government out of control, dishonesty, fake news, propaganda, provocateur agenda, even in the Ammon Bundy case, the 9/11 case, The Oklahoma City bombing case, the flight TW-800 case, January 6th reality, Charlottesville. I can keep going on. But Operation Mockingbird, ladies and gentlemen, is where we first got wind of this. It's a huge scale program of the FBI, the CIA, during the Cold War, and it's adapted to literally, listen, manipulate news media for profit and propaganda purposes, ladies and gentlemen. Operation Mockingbird. Now we wonder how involved the government is in moles in the media. You know, they told us it got shut down, but it really went underground. It's been live and well ever since. You got to ask for me to bring this up and really even talk about this with our buddy Ken Silva about the truth on this. Is the government going to call it hate speech? We're not allowed to do that. We also talked about the vaccine passport is, ladies and gentlemen, the vaccine passport is really, honestly, the effort to develop a credit score, a social credit system, if you will. They're going to have a social credit system like the communist nation of China. And in that social credit system, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are going to be judged on a bunch of things. It isn't financial, although penalties financially might be realized. It is how you behave in social media, how you behave in life. What does your environmental footprint look like, for example? We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, Brian Rust, RustQuinnandGift.com. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Glad to be with you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we also have Kelly Finnegan with us. Senior chemist joins us on air. Welcome back, Kelly.
Thank you.
All right, let's start out with an honest money report, Brian.
Well, we got the price on paper for gold is $1,972.90. Up about
that's
40
up a bit, right?
But yeah, up a little bit from last time we spoke.
1972.90 silver,
25.58,
and that hasn't changed too much, just a teeny bit, but not much at all, right?
Correct.
Wow, all right. Any comment on that, Kelly?
Well, I think when the numbers come out, we're starting to see that gold's moving, and Russia's really put the squeeze on the dollar. You know, I mean, when they're willing to take, when they say you have to buy things from Russia with rubles, you have to buy rubles. And so everybody's starting to bypass the dollar. So I think we're going to start seeing gold and silver move in dollars. Maybe not other currencies, but they'll start moving in dollars.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll keep an eye on that ball. Before we move on to other metals, what do you think of that, Brian? Gold moving, but silver not. That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it's a ploy. I mean, you're the same kind of things that we kind of see along. I mean, the physical's moving. I mean, I'm moving a lot of physical for a little tiny shop here in small little Provo, Utah, I guess they call it. But I think we're.
That's because when you have an honest money person, ladies and gentlemen, when you have doctor constitutional currency going on, then people gravitate towards that, Brian. They get comfortable. They spread the word to their friends and to their loved ones, and they say, hey, you know, I've got something I want to do here. I've had people call me and say, hey, can you give me Brian's number? Man, I got some business to do with this guy. So it's growing as people kind of know, Brian.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And they start to look at all the things that are happening around them, right? I mean, if it, you know, the fighting going on and the, you know, you go to the store to buy things and things aren't on the shelf or the price is increased, you know, and the money we're spending, I read something here that, the first $1 trillion ever created in the U.S. took 100 years. And then, you know, that March of 2020, in over a weekend, they created $7 or $8 trillion. So, I mean, well, there's a hyperinflation is coming kind of thing, right? So I think people are saying, okay, I need to do something.
All right, where's rhodium sitting, sir?
Rhodium sitting around 20,000.
All right, so that's up a bit, right?
Well, it's bouncing around. It was up 20,003 here a couple weeks ago, and so it's kind of moving a little bit. But Kurt Crosby, he's honey and rhodium. He's got it made.
Yeah, I don't have enough honey, and I don't have any rhodium. Not even a speck of dust.
Yeah.
You know, rhodium is kind of a fun thing. There you go. We track rhodium, ladies and gentlemen, just because it's kind of fun, because it's really something that you kind of can go, wow, how come that doesn't seem to be manipulated or stay the same? In other words, it fluctuates more with the market is why we use it as kind of a comparison. Number one, it's a very expensive metal, and so it's kind of something cool to kind of see, wow, what if you had an ounce of that? But really, it has to do with we compare it for the tracking purposes, Kelly.
Well, I have a friend that has 150 ounces of rhodium, and he bought it when it was $750 an ounce. So he's doing okay.
Yeah, there you go.
150 ounces.
Yeah,
try to figure
his
this
dad
out,
has like
man.
275 ounces that they bought together. So, yeah.
150 ounces times what, $750 you said?
That's what he paid, huh?
So he paid about $112,000 for it. Now it's worth what, almost $400,000 there, or $360,000? You know,
millions.
Is it
20,000 times?
20,000. I was thinking 2,000. I'm sorry.
3.5 million.
3.5. Hey, maybe that guy needs to fund radio.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to sell. He thinks it's going to be something people need. And it always is till they try to find a replacement, you know. But
yeah.
And the other thing with this gold and silver is people are tired of this. We're blaming all this inflation on Putin. And this has been going on for a year. It's been going on really since Biden was inaugurated. So the inflation, this temporary inflation that they had. So maybe it's gone up a bit, but it was going up before.
That's right.
Yeah, what the average American's doing is putting stickers all across the country on gas pumps saying, hey, I did this, and it points to a photo of Biden. Now people are getting arrested for putting those stickers on gas pumps, right? But Biden and the Democrats are both blaming Putin and Russia for the high oil prices. Biden basically calls it Putin's price hike. All right, so it's Putin's price hike now, according to Joe Biden.
Right. Well,
but I look at that, Brian, and I go, what? How are we going to blame this on Putin? I don't believe anybody really believes Biden on this one. First, Brian, then Kelly.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's going to let's point fingers at everybody else. I mean, that's kind of what Biden's whole agenda was to point fingers. I mean, was it Trump doing this or Trump's weak? He's not, you know, and all this stuff, and which were just a lie, you know. And then they tried to, well, we got to get Trump out because he, all this stuff, and which turned out to be false. And the fact of, and then he just kind of keeps scrambling, and now you can't even. I mean, I don't even know if Biden's really in the picture, because you know that it's like that Obama thing that showed up, and everybody went and talked to Obama, and Joe was wandering around wondering where everyone, how come they don't want to talk to him. So it was, I mean, it's a joke.
Kelly?
Well, and I was going to say, Elizabeth Warren, before this whole thing in the Ukraine, was, you know, blaming everything on the greedy corporations. And she right. obviously doesn't know how capitalism works. You know, if somebody's going to overcharge for something, somebody else is going to pop up and provide that service at a cheaper price.
Yeah, them crazy, you know, capitalists tied in with them crazy communists. They're all ruining the markets.
and I prefer to call them free market people. That's really what capitalism is a free market.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Now, even the Washington Times has a headline that says this: Biden, not Putin, causing pain at the gas pump. So, you know, when those guys say it like it is, that tells you the tale. Look, Donald Trump did a great job in many ways. And Joe Biden has literally turned on its head a lot of what Donald Trump was trying to do. Why aren't we creating our own energy independence here? Why are we shutting down things internally and then blaming it on what, Russia? Why do we need to depend on Russia in the first place? How does Russia have that much control over the world's economy? And that in and of itself is a very serious question that should be asked. How have we become so interdependent with the communists in Russia? You say to me, no, Sam, Putin's a freedom lover. Okay, the guy came from the KGB. Stop already. Okay, stop that. Don't lie to me now. I'm not Judge Judy. All right, look, we've got communists here. How have we let ourselves as a free nation be so interdependent that we can blame gas prices at our pumps on Putin, the Russian, because we stopped imports of his oil? At some point, if we're going to accept Joe's narrative, which I don't believe to be true, I think it's Biden's fault. But if we accept Joe's narrative on this, Kelly, then Brian, how do we look at this? Because who got us in this dependent on the communists, on the KGB position in the first place? So you indict yourself when you make that claim is what I'm getting at, Kelly.
Well, and only, I think it's 1.4% of our oil comes from Russia. Well, I'm sorry, but even if you took that out, our gas has gone up by more than 1.4%. So that's not true. And then China, because they call themselves a developing nation, they don't have to abide by any of these environmental things that the rest of Europe and the United States have said that they'll do. So they can keep burning coal and doing whatever they want, and then mining their minerals and sending them here for electric cars. They're happy with that. They're just not following what they're telling people to do.
Yeah, I'd be with the coal burners, Brian.
That's exactly right. Well, I mean, Joe handed Biden, the oil. They took away from U.S. Industry and gave it to him. I mean, does that fund the war that's going on? Is that kind of helping out, or was he involved in that, or what?
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to dig in further. Honest Money Report on your radio. We're talking to Brian Rust on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We've learned why billionaire Elon Musk turned down joining the Twitter board of directors after purchasing a majority of stock. Mr. Musk wants the whole company and is offering between $41 and $43 billion to make it his. The official filing was made Thursday. The sale, if approved, would be $54.20 a share. Daniel Ives with Wedbush Securities on CNBC Thursday morning.
I mean, I think this is basically going to put Twitter back against the wall. There's really no way that Twitter, in my opinion, could reject this.
Pfizer BioNTech reported Thursday that in a trial, a booster dose of its coronavirus vaccine in children ages 5 to 11 increased the level of antibodies that neutralize the original version of the virus and the Omicron variant. USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
A drag show in school for students is rewarded with money in Washington State.
A Washington State school district is rewarding a middle school LGBTQ club $2,000 for setting up a drag show for students. 770 AM Washington reports Bellingham Public Schools announced the Whatcom Middle School Group as the winner of its Think Big competition. The drag show beat out building storm gardens and helping meet student transportation needs to and from school. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
LinkedIn changed its mind and reinstated an Air Force veteran's post about student loans, and LinkedIn apologized for labeling the statement as hate speech. Veteran Gretchen Smith said, "Freedom has been secured with our blood, sweat, lives, and tears. Every American has a duty to protect our freedoms," end quote. Ms. Smith says she can now start focusing again on veterans in crisis needs. USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking to Kelly Finnegan and Brian Rust. We're in the middle of the Honest Money Report, ladies and gentlemen. Brian, you are finishing this idea that a Biden, not Putin, is causing pain at the gas pump. Even the Washington Times acknowledges that reality. So when Biden wants to run around and blame it on Putin, nobody's falling for that anymore, sir. People are too savvy, even to the average Joe, right?
Right, and I mean it's like everything to reverse everything that Trump actually accomplished. I mean, any common sense individuals would take something and say, well, that's a good thing. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. We'll maintain these things here and continue to force. But to walk in and say right is wrong, wrong's right, or whatever, and wipe out anything is good, and then start blaming other people because it's going south or things are, there's a, major problems. I mean, he needs to stand up and just say, I probably made a mistake here or made a mistake here. But he's not willing to do that, and those behind him aren't willing. That I guess are giving him the answers or not as well. So,
all right, well, check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Biden signs executive order for digital money. This happened several months ago, but now they're saying Joe's executive order and Democratic leadership's landmark digital money legislation is designed to and will wipe out cash. So think about that. Biden's executive order on digital money And the Democrats' agenda is to flat out create digital money to wipe out cash. And you wonder why the dollar seems under siege, Kelly?
Oh, this scares the crap out of me. And these young kids think it's great that everything's digital. But wait until they're told that they can't leave the state or they can't buy a plane ticket because it's not environmentally friendly, or they can't buy from a certain store because they don't like, you know, what you're buying. And then they'll see what's going on. China's doing it, and they're controlling their people very well.
Yeah, you can have an almost got me hamburger where it's not even real meat if you want to, sir.
That's right.
What do they call those almost got me burgers?
Is that what it is?
Oh, no, they're called the impossible burger. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it is impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to create fake meat and have it mimic God's creation. Forget it. It's not going to happen. Don't believe it. It's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think, though, Brian? Biden signs this executive order, and then the Democrats get together legislatively. They're working on digital money to jettison cash because they know the whole world's jettisoning cash, and they're hoping to get ahead of it and force a digital down our throats now.
Well, it's basically, you know, the dollar, you know, when we talk about this fiat currency, it just doesn't survive. It's, you know, you keep printing, just like I mentioned before, you throw $7 or $8 trillion out there because it can help control the financial market, as you know, the deep state can control that and hyperinflation and so on. I read somewhere that this BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, kind of the BRIC nations coming together as one, and you know, and so what that, so Putin demands payment in rubles, and Putin then pegs gold to the ruble. So they're trying to create, saying, okay, well, we have structure here. We're tying our ruble back to hard assets, and maybe it's creating a ripple effect around the world. I mean, somebody just said, okay, we're going Bitcoin. We're going to start using that everywhere, and basically, yeah. So the U.S. tried to jump into that digital market, but it's more control. If we go electronically all the way across the board, then it's, yeah, they. Okay, this little button here is going to just stop his bank account from doing what he wants. If you say, well, you're a Trump supporter, well, maybe we'll control his funds for a while. We'll see if he wants to. You know, there's just it's a deadly thing that's perhaps coming about. And yeah, one more thing, I guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. It's very scary indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the moves that are being made around the world right now. And people are saying now that the vaccine passport is active in about 25 out of the 50 states so far, some of them are more aggressive than others in terms of using it and mandating it, etc. But it is on the table for volunteer joining, if you will, right now. But the vaccine passport, ladies and gentlemen, once it gets in place, it isn't just about whether you've had a COVID test or not. It isn't just about whether you've been vaccinated or not and when you were vaccinated and by what formula or which company you partnered with for your in my opinion, clot shot. Okay, but the vaccine passport reality documentation turns into literally a real ID, because eventually will it be tied to your, what, digital wallet? And then, you know, hey, what's there? Your credit cards, your Social Security card, your driver's license, your clot shot or test negative for coronavirus, all that. But then it's a pathway to a social credit system. What's going to be there going forward if they get their way? Is it going to say there, Sam Bushman, you know, he's been talking about saying that Biden's responsible, not Putin. That's propaganda. Hey, his social credit score is going down, Brian.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I tell you, it's a mess out there. And so I think that I kind of, you know, as Kelly mentioned a little bit, our younger generation, they're glad to have a, you know, the credit card here, there, whatever, spend, whatever, and not have any whims about anything. They just kind of, here it is, and it's very easy, you know, very easy. And so, you know, I'm old school. I'm, you know, we've always had cash and walked around with cash and grew up in the metal business. And so it's kind of, I don't know, I'm nervous about that credit card society or
digital society.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think we're going to end up with a communist social credit system like they've got in the nation of China in America, Kelly?
Well, the other thing, we're headed that way. I mean, and the U.S. has, I was talking to somebody and they said the U.S. has the power of the Pentagon to make sure that the dollar is in use. But the other problem with it is right now there's, you know, there's a slowdown in the velocity of money. People are trying to save. And with the digital dollar, they can say, hey, you got paid. Well, if you don't spend, you know, X percentage of your account within 6 months, then you lose 10%. So it's going to force people to spend money because they lose money if they don't use it. And they can easily do that. So it's going to keep the economy going by making you buy things. So we're going to start getting into a barter economy. People are going to take and go buy something just so they have something physical that they can use later, and that's their savings account. People are waking up. It's great to see.
Amen to that. And to Kelly's point, Brian, he's saying, hey, the velocity of money is slowing down. People are realizing, hey, things are too expensive. I'm going to hold off on building that house. I'm going to drive less and not fill up my car. I'm not going to go out to eat. I'm going to use all that I can so that I can put myself in a protected position down the road. And he's saying, hey, governments will not tolerate that. They've got to have the fake money rolling. You got to keep that velocity of money going faster, 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 or eventually there'll be a halt to the con game. And so really when they put this social credit system in place, they can easily say, Brian, you have to spend some of that money, my friend. In fact, we gave you a bunch of it. Remember that? So, and
right.
Now we go, there we go, right? I think Kelly's onto something here.
No, that's right. You know, I agree. You know, I think that, you know, but I think there's, you know, what's the debt ratio right now of people in America or perhaps other kind of whatever, I mean, student loans and everything else, how far are we in debt basically just because we can go out and just use this plastic to buy whatever we want and buy maybe paycheck to paycheck, and now it's getting tighter and so on. And maybe, so are we going to see the rise in bankruptcies because people can't afford to go out and do that anymore? What's the ripple effect down here? There's a lot of that. I mean, we don't talk so much about debt, kind of what's the major debt cycle out there, but there's a huge debt cycle. I mean, you know, you got the student loan debts, you've got, I mean, there's just tremendous amount of this debt out there as well. So now we're forcing, you know, eventually maybe forcing people to say, well, you got to keep spending. Well, okay, I can't.
Well,
I'm bankrupt.
If you keep
until
spending,
now.
You've got spending, because if you don't, then the tax income down. So they have to have people spend money.
Right. I agree.
Not only is the tax income down, ladies and gentlemen, but remember, in addition to the tax income being down, businesses cannot thrive to the level that they are in a get and spend economy. We're not buying what we need for necessities. We're not repairing products. What we're doing is throwing everything away and getting new. The whole economy depends on you spending yourselves into oblivion, or the con game will end by force. Ladies and gentlemen, they're trying to wipe out cash to move to a digital world that they hope to gain control of. I'm against their social credit system. How about you? Hang tight. More in seconds.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Kelly Finnegan, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com on your radio. We're talking about honest money. We're talking about them moving us to a digital currency and jettisoning cash. We're talking about them forcing a social Chinese-style communist social credit system on us. We're talking about a whole lot of stuff, but Brian Rust, in my opinion, really nailed it when he mentioned Argentina. Because the headline, even in Forbes magazine, I quote these liberal rags on purpose so that you understand, even they're admitting a lot of the truth on these things nowadays because they have to. But here's what it says. A crypto revolution in Argentina, Forbes.com. They're talking about a crypto revolution, Brian.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to, get, you know, use that product. And it seems like they were, on the news, they were talking about it. And it seemed the people were kind of buying into it and allowing the trade and so on. I mean, wasn't Venezuela as well trying to do that at one point? I mean, you know, that was a major rich country at one point, third in the world, I believe. And then their government threw them under the bus. And so I think they were trying to do the same, at least get on some crypto, or perhaps it was people here sending them money, people down there with crypto or something. I'm not sure how that was working, but yeah.
All right. Elon Musk offers to buy Twitter for $43 billion in cash, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe he's getting rid of all his cash, too, because he knows what's coming. I don't know. Anyway, he offers to buy Twitter for $43 billion in cash. And I don't know if you know, but Twitter's market value right now is only considered to be worth $36.7 billion. So he's offering a serious premium of, what, $7 billion more than it's worth? So a 20%, whatever you want to say, increase on this. He says this, that's Elon Musk, Twitter has extraordinary potential, Musk says in an FCC filing. I will unlock it, he says. Musk says, quote, I invested in Twitter as I believe in its potential to be the platform for free speech around the globe. And I believe free speech is essential for a functioning democracy. Well, the poor ignorant guy doesn't even understand we don't have a democracy. Setting that aside, though, do you think he's going to be able to buy Twitter? Are they going to cave to the pressure? Or what do you think is going to happen, Brian?
Well, it's interesting. I guess if he can promote that, you know, buy up and promote free speech, perhaps President Trump will have a voice. Maybe he could share some of the insights of what really kind of happened and all.
Well,
that.
Well, here's the question, though: will Elon really even put Trump back on Twitter?
No, probably not.
See, that's kind of what's interesting. Everybody believes Elon Musk is your savior. I don't think so.
Yeah. Did you lose your Twitter account? Was that kind of?
Well, they just shut it down and said if I didn't repent and quit peddling fake news, even though I, you know, reported legitimate news sources and I was merely parroting the reality documented by these news sources internationally that, hey, In some of these countries, you've got the elderly dying more from the vaccines than they are from the COVID itself. They said I wasn't allowed to make that claim. Referred to those who did.
Right. Maybe the light's turned on. Now you can get back on. Hey.
Well, you believe that, Kelly?
Now, way back, Hearst owned, 90% of the news, and he could say what the news was. So this isn't something new, but not allowing people to be able to express themselves, even if they are saying something that isn't true. That's not illegal in the United States. Well, it wasn't illegal in the United States. They're like, why don't you just start up a new Twitter? But it's much easier to buy something that's already going, and that's why he's doing it this way rather than starting from scratch with one. So,
amen to that. And yeah. You sure get a lot of promotion when you do that too. When you say, hey, he bought a 9% stake. What's he going to do? Oh, he's going to join the board. Oh, psych. He's not joining the board. He just issued a filing for a hostile takeover. You get more out of that bang for your buck, if you will, by marketing and promotion. I mean, every news organization in the world is touting Elon Musk right now. It's a brilliant strategy, and it's way cheaper than building your own. You say it's expensive, but not when you consider the media coverage and the leverage that you're positioning alongside, if you will.
Yeah,
right. So I think it's a brilliant strategy, and it would be even better for Elon Musk if he never had to buy it after getting all that coverage.
Well, and he gets everybody that's following. And what is it? What's his little catchphrase? Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. So now everybody and their dog that, hey, I'm following, Elon here. I'm in. I'm buying. Let me buy some of that share and drive that. So he's driving that up based on, promoting that and everybody that follows him. So, yeah, there's some extraordinary potential.
And what happens if he makes a bunch of money, he owns 9%, then he starts to, if his takeover doesn't work, then he says, I'm going to divest myself. So he makes a bunch of money, and then he starts his own media company. He's getting coverage through the wazoo, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, I remember way back, T. Boone Pickens, who was a big investor, he started buying Boeing stock once. And everybody thought, oh, my gosh, he's going to do a takeover. And so it went up, the stock went up 50%, and then he sold it. And they said, well, we thought you were going to make a takeover. And he says, no, it was just undervalued. And then everybody jumped in, and then he had happened what he hoped had happened. So that might be the ploy that he's doing here.
My guess is Elon Musk does not end up with Twitter. I know a lot of people are believing that he will. I'm one that believes he will not. I believe it's a big, big media op. And at the end of the day, he'll just be like, hey, Twitter's much too broken. Then the question is, does he partner with somebody else like Trump or like Mike Lindell or somebody, to get into the news business that way? I mentioned that, everybody who is a bigwig now, one of the, if you're a woman, you get these nice purses or whatever, and it's kind of a status symbol. A status symbol for the bigwigs now is that you own your own media outlet, right? And so, when he says, I believe in the potential for it to be the platform or whatever, look, folks, really, what are we talking about? Does he really want to promote democracy? I sure hope not, because we don't have one in America. So he's sadly mistaken. But I look at this and say, I bet he doesn't end up with Twitter. I bet they play hard to get a little bit, and it doesn't go through as easily as he has hoped. And my guess is he's going to eventually be starting something on his own, whether he partners with somebody or does it single-handedly, time will tell. I don't know that. That's just a guess. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, it's, there's a number of people he's got. He's kind of out there. This younger generation, they're definitely following him. So, yeah.
I would also make this point really quick, and then to you, Kelly, is even if he wants to take it over, if he takes over Twitter that easy, then it's going to send this message the Securities and Exchange Commission and everybody else is going to be involved in, hey, you can't just hostily take over any company you want to because you're rich mentality. And so I'm predicting that he doesn't end up with Twitter. What are your thoughts, Kelly?
I don't think he will either. I think, like you say, it's just a ploy. But Twitter's unique in that there's nothing else out there like it that's competing against it. There are other media, newspapers, internet, whatever, that can compete against each other. But Twitter got in and really right now has that. And I could see somebody else, and maybe he involved with that. Just, hey, I just made some extra cash so I can start this. And, you know, it'll happen. At democracy, people think it's great. It's a scary thing, actually.
It's the simplicity of Twitter that is so unique, and everybody else who launches their own media services, they want a blend of kind of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They want their own new social twist. They want to build a better mousetrap. One thing people need to understand is Twitter does have extraordinary potential. I agree with that, but it's because of its simplicity. It's because, you know what, you can hardly have any bandwidth anywhere and still get out your little tweets, your little information, launching these little tidbits of information instantly, quickly, inexpensively, et cetera. That's the uniqueness of it that I think most people are missing. Google started out that way and then lost sight of the simplicity as well. But also, I might add, there's two new sub-variants of the Omicron, both related to the, what do they call it, the BA.2, spreading fast in New York now. So is Omicron going to come back? Are they going to lock us down again? Kelly?
Sure. I mean, that's the big deal. You got to keep it going. You got to have that continually in the news, you know. And I love how Fauci's come out and said, well, I hope that we don't have to do this. You know, I hope we don't. And so right there he's saying, yeah, this is probably going to happen. But it's just, you got to keep it going.
What do you say, Brian?
I think Kelly's right. They got to push that. You know, they got it out here, and it's a little control over the, you know, they've kind of tested the market out there, and now they've got this control thing, and boy, they can, we've got to do this again, and we got to do that, and we got, let's get masked. Maybe it's three deep, four deep masks on you, and get the, I mean, what's the next thing? I mean, it's a circus.
Well, and Moderna and Pfizer and that, now they're saying, hey, this vaccine, we should get it every year like the flu shot. You know, so that we have this, so the money is continually coming in, you know.
Well, yeah. And that's the problem with this, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I say they're going to turn it into a social credit reality, a social credit system, kind of like the communist Chinese have. They're going to start to tie environmental realities to this in terms of your behavior environmentally. In other words, are you a global warming denier, Brian, or are you just going to comply? Every tidbit of society, financial, economic, environmental, health, all this is going to be merged into this, quote, dossier backed by this social credit score. That's where they're going with each of us. And then they'll start to make decisions of who can play ball and who can't in this, quote, new world where if you're not plugged in, you're nobody. Brian?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's going to... You know, which line are you getting in? Are you in this line? And oh wait, you're a racist, and you're not. And just start attacking you because you don't fall in line and get in this line. And yeah, it's a crock. And then I kind of look at it like God's children against God's children. Okay, now we start attacking each other. They created this monster, and we start attacking each other. Well, you're not wearing the mask. You didn't take the shot. You didn't do this. You're not going on the airplane. You're not. I mean, it's boom, 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 boom. Now we're attacking each other, and we're fighting within. So it's, yeah, what a racket.
You're not a star-bellied sneech.
There you go.
Well, that's right. Kelly, what do you think? How quick is this going to happen, or do you think the American people will start to stand up? Final question before the end.
Oh, I think it'll happen. It's happening, but it's just going to just come right in quickly, and not even, people aren't even going to know it happened.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I pray Kelly's wrong, but I predict he's spot on. Thank you so much, Kelly Finnegan. Thank you so much, Brian Rust. Ladies and gentlemen, RustCoinAndGift.com is your friend in the honest money business. Constitutional currency at your fingertips always when it comes to Brian Rust, the man that gives you a good, honest, fair deal and encourages you to take possession of your metal. It doesn't get better than that, does it? RustCoinAndGift.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sam.
And we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you get involved and help us? God save the Republic of the United States of America.